Hello, and thanks for being with us here on The New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yaela Shadarel. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the relationships between the nations of the world. We have relationships at home, at work, and we also have a pretty bad relationship between the nations of the world, and we'd like to see how can we achieve domestic peace. Yael, please. Yeah, we have many nations, 70 nations, according to what you told us on one of our previous shows. And we see that it's chaos. The relationships between these different countries and nations is something very complex. There are prominent leading nations. There are things that changed throughout history. There are weak nations that you can barely see that they exist. And there's our nation, a small nation, that is very powerful and prominent in the world, despite being very small. And today we'd like to understand how do the different relationships work between the different countries, between the nations, beneath the surface, because on the surface we see how it works. There are wars, power struggles, but beneath the surface, behind the scenes, what's going on there? We talked about it on our previous show, and I'll repeat some of it. Israel is not a people. It's a collection from the 70 nations of the world that cover all the nations of the world. That's all there is, 70. That they're divided into more and more. It doesn't matter. So Israel is a compilation of the 70 nations of the world, that as if a representative of each one of these nations came to Abraham, and despite them being very different according to their corporeal genes, Abraham connected them, and he made this umbrella over them, this kind of umbrella that love covers for all crimes, that even though that they're very different and corporeally wise, they don't understand each other that much, they rise above these corporeal differences and together build a system of love, that we want to reach a state where all of us are truly as one man and one heart. This is the ideal world. Yeah, ideal relations. Where does this come from? Because Abraham taught them how to derive from the depth of nature this force called the reforming light, the upper force, the positive force that knows how to connect different people. They took it. And as a result of all the work that they did, this is what they got, that they truly became a nation, where according to their corporeal genes, they're all very different from 70 nations. But according to the spiritual sum total that they have achieved, they became one nation, a spiritual nation. It exists only on condition that it sustains this connection above all differences, keeps the connection above all the differences, meaning the people of Israel, to begin with, include two layers inside of them. The lower level, the corporeal level, where there everyone's different from 70 nations, even opposite to each other, ready to fight each other. And above that, the upper layer, which is love above all differences, where they are truly as one man and one heart. Only on that second layer do they become a nation? No. A nation is considered both of these layers together, but it's on condition that the upper layer is in control of the lower layer, that their connection is stronger than their big differences that want to separate them on the lower level. And then they're called a nation, meaning it is a people that is always in turmoil, some kind of a struggle. having different inner problems, and along with it, they have to rise above it all and connect. Meaning to be in an ongoing dynamics. It's not simple. Not simple. It's a unique nation, a special nation. The role of this special nation is to realize this process on all of the nations of the world. Because when the people of Israel came out of Babylon, the cream from the 70 nations, with the good and the bad together, with these two layers, in Babylon remained only the lower level, the 70 nations of the world that are struggling with each other. And then Nimrod, he gave an order for them to disperse in all directions. And as Josephus Flavius writes, they dispersed all of Babylon, all over the world, and they covered the entire world to this day. And they decided to separate. Of course, if you go right, I go left. There's so much room. And this is how it is to this day. The process that they have to go through is that all of the nations of the world have to go through a corporeal development up to a state where they reach a great crisis, where they see that there's nothing real about the corporeal development. Everyone goes through a different kind of corporeal development, of course, according to their character. And when they reach the peak of this development, they see the crisis coming their way, that they have nothing in this life, neither for today, nor for tomorrow, nor in any way. And simply it's better to die than keep living this way. Crisis. Those start drinking vodka, these start taking drugs, those have different other problems, there you have despair, and using antidepressants, and so on and so forth. In short, one big problem for the entire world, no point in living. The crisis is within each and every nation or between the nations. The crisis is within each and every nation, and each nation is undergoing a bit of a different crisis. But what is the crisis? That their egoistic will to receive is developing, and eventually it doesn't fulfill the desire of any nation. Meaning I work in different ways and I'm doing different things and I get nothing as a result. I feel no satisfaction. No one's content. No nation. Even those that are seemingly running the world or the richest countries and so on, the crisis has to reach a state where everyone, from the smallest to the greatest, will not be able to fulfill their egoistic desire to enjoy in any way. Give me food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge. You name it. It will not cover my will to receive, because my will to receive is becoming higher, greater than all of these desires. And so, I have to search for some other source of fulfillment, because otherwise it's better to die than live this way, and I simply can't die. Nature doesn't allow me to die, because my existence has to amount to something else. And so what follows is that the whole of humanity has no idea what to do. And war won't help. Suppose there will be a few more wars. Humanity will kill half of itself, destroy half of humanity. Eventually, It doesn't give an answer. The answer is simple. To fulfill this egoistic desire such that it will be content with life. And then, when they understand that they're in different such states that they can't realize, they turn to the people of Israel. All of the nations of the world turn to the people of Israel. Meaning, to the extent to which a certain nation reaches a certain level of egoistic development, it starts feeling inside itself anti-Semitism, an anti-Jewish, anti-Israeli feeling against the people of Israel. Why? Naturally, because instinctively it starts feeling that the solution is probably in their hands, that they live as one nation, even though that among them, within them, there are 70 nations at their corporeal foundation. And along with it, they're living under some kind of one roof, one umbrella. And they succeeded, relatively succeeded in doing it. And also as a result of having this small kind of success, small kind of connection between them, they are very successful in humanity. To the extent to which they're connected into a single nation, even though that they're different, as a result, they become smarter than everyone else. They become more successful than everyone. Eternal. Where does it come from? Where do all these things come from? Because in them, there is still some kind of a connection above all of the differences. And this connection was given to them from their very foundation, from their so-called holy fathers. What does this mean? That this people, because their corporeal essence consists of the 70 nations of the world, and atop that, they're connected together to the same, maybe, ideology or kind of attitude, that gives them eternity. It doesn't give them a good, nice life, but it does give them the uniqueness that they're more successful than others. What is it about this connection between the 70 different representatives of the nations of the world that exist within the people of Israel, the small connection that makes them successful? What's the connection between success and connection? This connection is called ancestral merit. That in the past, we were connected under Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joseph, David, until the destruction of the Second Temple. We were connected together, even though that along with it we fought, but still we succeeded. And therefore, that gene of connection, called Reshimo in Hebrew from the word Roshem, impression, is continuing with us to this day. And that's called ancestral merit. And thanks to that, we exist. But what is it about the force of connection which really allows this kind of success? It is to be connected above the 70 differences that exist in our nation. In our nation, there are plenty and plenty of bad relations between everyone, where everyone wants to be more and better than the others. But along with it, there is a special umbrella which gives all the Jews this attitude that they belong to one nation, as opposed to all the rest of the nations. This connection is about to cease to exist. We are in a phase where the assimilation is terrible. And so we can reach a state where we will no longer have that umbrella that connects us together one way or another and allows us to be saved from all the problems and troubles and to eventually always restore ourselves and to rise from any fall or trouble like after the Holocaust. But now, there's a problem, like with the American Jews, suppose. And in general, in each of the nations and in every part of the Israeli nation, that we're dispersed all over the world, and we have a very strong tendency towards assimilation. And this way, we're left without any connection atop the inner differences. Before we talk about the assimilation, I have another question about anti-Semitism. You said that a nation that reaches a certain level of development starts feeling that their ego is reaching a very developed level and they start feeling anti-Semitism. Suppose in Africa, in Korea, in different such countries that we had nothing to do with. When they develop to a certain degree of human development, as a result of the differences that they started to feel that exist in each and every nation and between people, along with it, they started to feel that it is as if the people of Israel that are to blame for all the wrong that's going on because they're starting to fight each other. No. They start fighting each other, and as a result, they start feeling that the one causing this fight is the people of Israel. Who's the people of Israel? I heard, or I even didn't hear, that there is someone, something, somewhere there. Why? Because the people of Israel have the ability to cover all of this hatred with the umbrella of love, that this is what they want. Of course, this is what everyone's lacking. Each nation that reaches a certain degree of egoistic development, it has this inner collision, and then they need this umbrella, the method as to how to connect upon atop all the differences. And this is the method of the wisdom of Kabbalah that exists only in the people of Israel. You say that it's some inner understanding. We see that this is how it happens. The Koreans, 50, 30 years ago, it didn't concern them in any way. Today, they are the number one anti-Semitic country in the world. How is this possible? So it's an inner understanding that bursts out and starts developing in that country a certain hatred towards Jews. Yeah. You said that the more we develop, a person reaches a state where he is discontent with everything, discontent with life in general. How do all these things that we just talked about have to do with the more a person develops, the greater his desires, and nothing can satisfy him? Does it have to do with the connection with the nation? Nothing can satisfy a person because he is not correctly connected with others. Were he correctly connected with others, he could provide himself with everything. What do you mean with everything? Everything, because after the sin of the tree of knowledge, after we all shattered, fell apart, then in each of us, there are the roots from all of the 70 parts of this general spiritual body of ours, and therefore we can't fulfill ourselves unless we're connected. You said that a person feels discontent regardless of what he has because he feels unconnected with others. Right. And you said that if a person's connected with others, he can get everything out of life. Right. And I asked why, and then you said something that I didn't understand. It's because my connection to everyone else is broken, it's shattered. And if I'll restore my connection with others, please? How? With the help of the people of Israel that know how to do it because it exists within them. So suppose I'll learn how to do it from the people of Israel and I'll restore my relations with others. What does it have to do with feeling satisfied in life? Then you'll be able to fulfill yourself. How? Through connection with others. Fulfill myself with what? With satisfaction. Where do they have satisfaction from? Look at them. But you'll fulfill yourselves in your mutual connection because you'll start feeling that reality is filled with satisfaction. Where is the satisfaction? Nowadays, people are discontent with everything. A person buys a new Porsche, a week later, he's discontent. People are discontent with everything. True. But when you have good relations with others, you, through your mutual connection, can fulfill each other. Where does the general fulfillment come from? It exists in nature, only it exists in a hidden form. You can't perceive it because you don't have the connections for it. You don't have the network in order to grasp it. What can you give me that I don't have that will make me satisfied, or that I can give you that will make you satisfied? You're built in such a way that if you will correctly be connected with others, you will get all the fulfillment that you need from them. This is how you're built. What will they give me? This I don't understand. They will give you what you need. I just want to feel good. I don't even know what will make me feel good because nothing does it for me in this world anymore. So I'm telling you that you'll want exactly what you can get from them. I don't understand. Where do your desires come from? Because once you were connected with everyone and you were with them in one spiritual body, and you got your whole, perfect, complete fulfillment through them, and they through you, and so did everyone else, in an integral way, all the 70 nations. Now you broke the connection between the 70 nations, and no one can get from anyone else. Everyone feels that they have nothing. On the egoistic level, you reach a state where each of the 70 nations grows and feels that they have nothing, because they discover that the thing that's truly missing is the real connection with the other 70 nations. And in this interaction between everyone, we will feel a kind of perfection. Yes, because this is what we came from. We're built correspondingly. If I'm connected with the rest of the body, I feel satisfied. And as long as I'm not connected with the rest of the body, I'm not satisfied. And the same goes for all the rest of the organs. So it's not about being specifically satisfied with something, but being satisfied with the status of being connected as opposed to being disconnected. No. What then? Because I'm connected with others and we can share our different feelings. I give you, you give me, and we work as one body in a healthy way, and we enjoy a mutual life. It's a completely different life on a different degree called spirituality, and not on the level where everyone's cut off from each other, like being preserved in a tin can. Are you talking about international trade? What do you mean that we give and take? We give and take now, too. At the push of a button, I give and take from the entire world. An 18-year-old child can do business with the entire world and be a billionaire nowadays. So this probably isn't what you're talking about. I'm talking about the sense of satisfaction from our connection, where we're all connected together, like a healthy body enjoys being healthy. This is what people are actually looking for? Of course. So going back to that country that developed and developed, their desire grew and grew, they're discontent with everything. They started blaming the Jews because they have the ability, and they will not stop blaming, and the same goes for the rest of the countries of the world. Eventually, they will overcome Israel, come here to the place where the Jews are, will not allow us to rest, will be under great threat, until we will keep our connection in a good, nice, complete, and correct way and show them how to do it, and we'll connect them to us and us to them. And this way, all of us shall become as one society, and the entire world will reach its complete correction in a good and nice connection as one body. I have a question. I know that you have students from all the different nations, religions, and so on. Yes. How do they accept all these things where you say that there's something special about the Jews? What are Jews? Jews are something special, strange in the world. True. Everyone says so. First and foremost, the anti-Semites say that we're special. And they say that it's all up to us, that we're to blame for everything. They say that about us. They point their finger at me and say, he's to blame for all of our problems, regardless what nation, the Chinese, the Russians, doesn't matter who. It means that I'm strong enough and smart enough in order to cause harm to a nation of, suppose, 500 million people. What do you think about that? And this is what they say. It's unreal. When real, they say the truth. This is what they feel. When real. It's unreal that two people that look the same, there is something about one of them that doesn't exist in the other. It's very racist. You can say what you want. Facts are facts. You're talking like a little child. You don't want for it to be this way. By this, you don't change the facts. And how are those students of yours that, suppose, are not a part of the Jewish people, how do they help you? They are a part of the Jewish people. By being drawn to connection atop all the differences, that makes them a part of the people of Israel, of the Jewish people. Even if someone's Italian and Catholic, doesn't matter. According to the Jewish law, an Italian can be a Jew, and then he's not Italian. What is a Jew? A Jew is someone who's drawn to connection. What does it mean to do a giyur? There's no such thing in any other nation. It means that I commit to keep the Torah. What is the Torah? Love another as thyself, above all the differences. Our time's up. Last question. Our topic is the relations between the nations of the world. What are they supposed to be like in their ideal state? Ideally, it has to be as follows, that the people of Israel, like the center of the brain, is like this little marble in our brain that's managing the connection between all the nations, and is responsible for the connection between all the nations, and they'll be happy to be under our management. And by this, we will lead the entire world to the desired correction, and everyone will become equal and will love each other. To love each other, that's what it's all about. The end is love. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Yael. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.